Hi, my name is Mandy Jackson Beverly, and I'm a bibliophile. Welcome to the Bookshop Podcast. Each week, I present interviews with independent bookshop owners from around the globe, authors, and specialists in subjects dear to my heart, the environment and social justice. To help the show reach more people, please share it with friends and family and on social media. And remember to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast. And if you'd like to donate to the show, head on over to thebookshoppodcast.buzzsprout.com. Click on the orange heart in the right-hand corner of the page where you can donate via Buy Me a Coffee. And thanks to everyone who has supported the show. You're listening to episode 170. Jackie Delbert is the owner of the Little Green Bookshop, an independent bookshop in Herne Bay, a seaside town on the north coast of Kent in southeast England. Working with Jackie is musician, artist, and bookseller Tim Jenkins. Hi, Jackie and Tim, and welcome to the show. It's lovely to have you both here.
Thank you. We're pleased to be here.
Nice to see you.
You had quite a heat wave in Kent this year.
We certainly did. Yeah, we had... Every day seemed to sort of merge into one big hot thing, didn't it?
It's Jackie, like a ball of heat.
You get up in the morning and it's, you know, hot, go to bed, hot, wake up in the middle of the night, hot.
But the good news is our bookshop is a stone's throw from the sea, which is lovely.
Well, you live in a gorgeous part of the planet. One of my sons and his wife live in Canterbury, so not too far from where you are.
Oh, right.
Ah, wow.
Yes, that's true. We're only 9 miles from Canterbury.
Yeah, it's a beautiful area and so much interesting history. Now, let's begin with learning about you, Jackie. What were you doing before becoming an independent bookshop owner? And why did you decide to open the Little Green Bookshop?
Okay, yeah. I grew up in Kent and I went to school here, went to the girls' grammar in Dover, which is another seaside town further around the coast. And of course, being a teenager, who wanted to live in Kent? Not me. So I thought fame and fortune is calling in London, and off I went. And I, by complete fluke, fell into media and PR in the 80s. Didn't even know what it was to start with. Started as a junior account executive, worked my way up, became a board director of a couple of companies. Then, obviously, children came along as well. And I decided that I didn't want that. It wasn't even a 9 to 5. It was like, you know, 8 to midnight sometimes kind of lifestyle. And then strangely relocated to Pembrokeshire, which is right on the west coast of Wales. And we wanted the children to grow up not in London at that stage. And they were young, 4 and 5. So we stayed there. Sadly, things didn't quite work out as planned. And I had this overwhelming urge to come back to Kent, which I never thought I would. In that time, I'd always been an avid reader, but I had no knowledge of the publishing industry, the retail industry, anything. But I thought, well, one day I'd really like to open a little bookshop. And then I realized, well, if not now, when, you know? And this property in Herne Bay became available. And it used to be a seaside town I visited a lot as a child. And I thought, I'm just going to do it. And there wasn't, obviously, another independent bookshop here. Sadly, there was a really lovely one called Bundle of Books for Children. But the pandemic, sadly, had seen the end of that. So it just all came together at the same time. So I'd moved back to Kent and I thought, I'm going to just do it. And here we are.
I read that you've had a successful career in media and PR. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And what about you, Tim? How did you end up at the Little Green Bookshop?
Yeah, well, I kind of relocated down here by the seaside. So I decided, for various reasons, me and my partner decided to come and live down here. My mum lives down here and I've got other members of the family. And I kind of just arrived, parachuted in, didn't really have any kind of, didn't have any friends, any connections. Although I sort of came from a background of music and things like that, I wasn't really doing any music down here. I just literally came down, thought, well, I'm going to retire, play a bit of tennis, you know, that sort of thing. That's what I like to do. And then my wife put an advert on Facebook because she's an artist. She's a portrait artist. And she required some studio space. Jackie responded. Now, they got to know each other. And they ended up sort of becoming acquaintances, friends. And then when Jackie was doing up the bookshop, my wife said, well, my husband's at a loose end. He could come and maybe do some decorating in the shop. So it just started literally me walking in, Jackie saying, will you paint this wall? Will you paint this wall? But we got talking, and we're both from similar backgrounds, like yourself, hanging out in South Moulton Street. I lived in Great Titchfield Street when I was young, and I knew a lot of people that Jackie knew from the PR world, because I'd done a lot of work in that area. So we hit it off, and then Jackie started to, because she's a very curious person, she was asking me about other things that I did. And I said, well, I play music, I'm quite good at art and things like that. So she kind of just let me have a bit of a free run in the shop. So she said, well, I've got a piano, I'll bring it in. So I play piano in the bookshop, which is really lovely for the customers and lovely for me. And also I do the shop windows, because I do a lot of art on the windows, like using chalks and stuff. And that's become a bit of a thing locally. So we change that a lot, don't we, Jackie? We make sure it stays. Yeah. And I think it's just been an awakening. It's been so important for me, because I've got a new friendship with Jackie, but also the bookshop kind of reflects that friendship, I think. And when people come in, they get a feeling of, oh, it's a really nice independent bookshop, but there's lots going on. There's a lot of positive energy in here. And we've had our moments where things get stressful, haven't we, Jackie? But we've got a very good working relationship, and that's where we kind of are now, isn't it, Jack?
Yeah, definitely. So Tim also looks after the shop 2 days a week, so on a Sunday and a Tuesday. So we're able to open 6 days a week, which is great.
It sounds like you've built a creative hub, and that's one of the reasons I admire indie bookshop owners and the people who work there. Indie bookshops are magnets for the curious, and safe places for people to have conversations, whether they agree about an issue or not.
Definitely. It's almost like the old Lions coffee shops.
Yes, and if you really want to get into a conversation, you can go to a radical bookshop.
We're not quite on that cusp, but what we have found is we've opened up what I can only describe as a sort of cultural hub. And the people that came in and the people that come in and say, we are so pleased that we've got this in Herne Bay. It is a different space to any other space in Herne Bay at the moment. Like you say, it's about the books. It's about the atmosphere. We do events. We have authors coming in. And it's a very cultural community space. You can't put your finger on it. It's a sort of like alchemy that works, you know?
I think to me what it is that there's sort of, Lots of corporate shops now. If you walk into like a lot of shops now and ask someone behind the till a question like, oh, you know, would it be all right if I came in here for a couple of hours and did some volunteering? They wouldn't be able to say yes or no, because the person that's running the shop doesn't exist in the shop. They're like a corporate company, or it's owned by like someone. They just wouldn't know what to say. Whereas when people come in here, and we have a lot of people within the community that do have problems, you know, maybe they don't fit in other areas, and they tend to just come down, and Jackie's better at this than me, I must admit. She'll talk to them, and she'll just spend half an hour chatting to them. But we haven't asked for any funding for helping in the community or anything like that. We're just doing it naturally.
Yeah.
And I think that comes from Jackie owning it and being able to do what she likes in it from a kind place. And I think that's what's been lost in a lot of shops. It's all very corporate. It's all, there's no kind of personal attachment to anything. It's just in, get the card machine out, buy. You know, the people aren't trained well in shops. They're just young people maybe, you know. And I think that's what, it makes people that live here feel better about themselves. You know, they go away and think, hey, I live in Herne Bay, where this shop is. That's good for me. Do you see what I mean?
Absolutely. And I love the piano being in the store. I mean, talk about creating alchemy. No doubt you have people strolling by who pop in to listen to the music, and perhaps they buy a book on their way out. Now, you have a third team member, your marketing manager, Mia Rodriguez. Did you all know each other before opening the bookshop?
Mia was my next door neighbor in London. I've known her since she was, two, three. She's now 25, which makes me about 30, I think. No. Anyway, yeah. And her mum moved down to Kent before I came down to Kent. So we were next door to each other for 12 years. So I saw Mia growing up. And then Karen moved down to Ramsgate. We've still have our friendship. It's been going all those years. Mia's now a grown-up young woman, and she is a social media guru. She's just unbelievable. She does copywriting. She understands how social media works. And I've got to be honest, I don't have the time for it. I'm still grappling with, you know, running the stock and everything. And she just does such a brilliant job. She helps with all of the event planning that we do. And we've got a lot of events coming up. And she's just like, a seamless member of the team. She comes down sometimes to the events. And she's a wordsmith. She's just an all-round wonderful human being.
Oh, I think these days, anyone with a business, you absolutely need to employ someone to do your marketing and your social media. I'm not a lover of it myself.
Neither am I.
But we need it. And I have a great team behind me too. So it definitely makes it doable and fun for the people that like to do it.
Yeah.
I found that to do a job to the best of my ability, I write up a list of three columns, one column being all of the things that I need to do for this particular business that I love doing. In the second column, I write of things that maybe I can do, but maybe eventually I can hand off. And in the third column are all the things that really I don't need to do, or I don't really understand how to do, and I'm okay handing them off. Doing this frees me up to take over the work that needs my attention.
Totally. I mean, at my stage of life, I wanted to be able to enjoy this. I don't want to be the next Walter Stones. It's never going to make me lots of money, and that's not what it's about. Mm. But what I don't want is it becomes so stressful that it's unenjoyable, because it's about the people, and people buy from people at the end of the day. And if we're all coming in like going, oh God, look, sorry, what do you want? Because I'm just trying to, you know, post this, but you want a book? You know, that's not what we're about. And Mia just gets on with it, enjoys it as well. She's based in London. She comes down to see us now and again, doesn't she? And she just runs with it. We obviously supply a lot of the content, but the three of us together, it's teamwork.
That's fantastic. The perfect team is the magic essence, I think, of any business. Let's talk about the population and demographics of Herne Bay. And you did mention that there were other bookshops in the area that have sadly had to close. Let's have that conversation.
Okay. So the population of Herne Bay is approximately 38,000 people. So it's quite a large town. It's quite spread out, and it's got a very long high street. I would say the demographic is lower middle class, would you say?
So it's a real hodgepodge.
Yeah, so it's a hodgepodge of working class.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of young families.
Yeah.
There's a lot of older people. No, it's a real mix. It's not massively diverse. I suppose it is because we at the moment we've got a lot of Ukrainian people here because of the war. And this is actually like a hub for the Ukrainian people, because our MP is very, very good at helping the Ukrainians. So we know quite a lot about that, because we've been to a few sort of events with the Ukrainian people have been. And there's a big Turkish community here. Yeah. But of course, because we've been through Brexit, a lot of people have gone home, you know, because there were a lot of migrant workers in Kent for the picking and the growing and all that, but they've left. Mm. So it's interesting, Jackie. I mean, what would you say was the main dynamic?
I would describe Herne Bay as a town, as a very, very traditional Victorian seaside town. And I would have described it as slightly faded glory, But it's beginning to regenerate and it is doing a really good job now. I mean, I'm sure you've heard of Whitstable up the road, have you?
Yes, I have.
Yes. So you've got Whitstable, and I know you know of Margate, which is the other side of us. Whitstable is very she-she, very...
gentrified.
Yes, very gentrified. Mm. It is a second home for a lot of Londoners, which can cause a little bit of difficulty sometimes, I suppose. Herne Bay doesn't have that. It's much more traditional at the moment, much more family-oriented, I would say. But within that, you have people that have moved down from London that do have cultural jobs. There's people that come in that work in film, music, come into this shop. And you would look at the high street and think, well, I didn't see them on the high street, but they're here. So you've got that. Margate is a bit edgier. It's a bit more arty. Herne Bay's trying to get more arty. There's a great hub called The Beach Creative, where Catherine now has a studio. So I would say we were more family-oriented and more traditional at the moment than either Margate or Whitstable.
Definitely.
Would it be correct of me to say that Herne Bay hasn't yet been affected by gentrification, where it's too expensive for local children to grow up and buy properties in their own neighbourhood or even to rent? Is that correct?
Correct. It hasn't. There are still some big old Victorian villas around here that are, yeah, that have families in them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of flats, though, aren't there as well?
Yeah.
Lots of
a lot
flats.
Of urban sprawl. You know, like you've got the Victorian bit of the pier and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And then as it sort of sprawls out, the further out you get, the more kind of new buildings are created, like the 70s and the 60s bungalows and things like that. And they tend to be kind of out there, tend to be more kind of families or older people that are just like, I've lived here for longer.
Mm.
There's a concentrated bit that I live in, which is houses that have been done up to flats, old engineering works that have been made into flats, that are more about people that have come from elsewhere, plonked in, and we're kind of near the cafes and everything, and that's more of a little kind of cafe society area.
Yes.
But the thing I like about it feels real to me. It
yeah,
feels like a real place, you know?
And people come from Whitstable to us, the local people, and going, oh, God, I've got to get out of Whitstable. Because it's become so rarefied. I mean, you know, they've got dress shops where your dresses are over £100. Now, for a local person, that's a high price point.
Yeah, a customer came in to me and said, oh, I live in Whitstable. And I said, oh, what's that like? He said, great, you can buy as much coffee as you want, but you can't buy a cabbage.
Oh, my goodness, that is funny, but it is sad. What about the indie bookshops? Are there many left now in Herne Bay?
No, we are the only independent bookshop in Herne Bay. There is a very big secondhand bookshop called Demelza's, which caters again for you know, there's something for everybody. The closest bookshop would be Harbour Books in Whitstable on that side. And then if you go the other side, you'd come to Ramsgate first, and there's a new bookshop opened up there called Book Bodega. So that would be, that's a great name.
Yes, it is a great name.
But again, it's lovely because there's room for all of us, because we're all in different towns and we've all got different communities. But yeah, we're the independent bookshop in Herne Bay.
I think Jackie's been a bit modest, really, because I think the reason the bookshop's been successful is because of her personality, but also her curation of the books. You know, it's all very well having a bookshop piled high with secondhand books, but if you're actually an avid book reader and you know a little bit about the subject, it's like me with music. You know, I could go into a record shop like HMMV and look, there'd be thousands of records, but when I go into a little independent, I can talk to the person there and they'll know the bands that I know, the music that I know from the 80s, whatever. You get into a conversation, and the way it's curated, you've almost got too big a choice in the big bookstores.
Mm.
Where here, it's like I said to a customer yesterday, you know, we're kind of like, if it was a greengrocer's, you know, you can either go to Tesco's and have thousands and thousands and thousands of different tomatoes, or you can go to the small local organic greengrocer's where they grow one really brilliant tomato and buy it. And that's kind of how I feel about the bookshop. Jackie curates it. And I always say to the customers, all the books in here are really good. Take a chance, because Jackie's curated them and she talks to the publisher. There's a dialogue there. And I think intelligent, sort of like-minded people, like you were saying, they fathom that out. You know, they're conscious when they come in the shop. They're not unconscious. They don't just come in, fling a book, fling a card at you and run out. They're conscious. They're looking at the way the books are put up. They're looking at the colours. They're looking at the artwork. They're talking. It's a conscious experience. And that's why they're willing to pay rather than clicking a button in their bedroom in their nightie or pyjamas, you know? And that's what makes it amazing. And that's what you could transfer what Jackie's done here to anything. That's why I admire her so much, because you can transfer it to your life in general. You know, be more conscious, be more aware of what you're doing, why you're doing it. And that's why I find it inspirational, really.
Yeah, I completely agree, Tim. And this idea became super important during the beginning of the pandemic and ongoing, because when people couldn't buy eggs or fresh vegetables, local farmers were reaching out and saying, you know, you can come over here. We've got boxes we'll leave out. And this idea of community thrives in independent businesses. Independent business owners buy or curate their stores specifically around their communities. And I think this is so important. Okay, let's get back to the Little Green Bookshop in particular, because I noticed on your website events calendar, which I know is going to be up and open to the public shortly, you hold writing workshops. Is there a strong writing community in the area? And who are a few of your local authors?
So we started off with author events, which have been really, really well received. And then we'd seen that there had been a writing workshop in Ramsgate at the Union Cafe by a London actress that had come to live here called Nicola Wren. And I got in touch with her and said, oh, would you be interested in bringing that to Herne Bay? She said, I'd love to. So we've done one already on a Sunday, and we've got the second one coming up, and it was sold out. And people again are thinking, hooray. It's because they're not, there's nowhere else in Herne Bay that you do it. So it, what people are saying all the time is, it's on our doorstep. Thank you. You know, so that's that. And then we've got a memoir taster session with a woman called Marnie, who again has got a lot of experience in memoir writing. And of course, just recently, it was a memoirist that won the Nobel Prize, didn't they? The Nobel Literature Prize, the French woman.
Yes, Annie Ernaux.
So she's coming in again on a Sunday morning, and again that's sold out, because it's something different. It's something we're trying to offer, different experiences. Saturday was Bookshop Day in the UK, so it was National Bookshop Day. And so, for example, we had two authors, one in the morning for children, one in the afternoon for adults. In the middle was a beautiful talk on how to commission and the process behind portraiture. So again, something very different that we're trying to offer to the community, really.
And what can you tell me about your local authors?
The first local author we had was a really delightful young woman called Chloe Timms. She was actually born severely disabled from birth. She also went to Canterbury University, and she got a scholarship to Faber, a creative writing scholarship, and she published her first novel last year called The Sea Women. And she came in, and she was our first author event, and she was just a force of nature, lovely, lovely young woman. And that went really well. So we thought, okay, we're onto something here. So that was Chloe. We've had Saturday, Lucy Strange. She's published four books now. They are from ages 5 to early teens in range. The latest one is called The Sisters of the Lost Marsh, which is based out on Romney Marsh, which is another area local to Kent. She came in and she did some readings. And Tim did some, so it was full of young girls, full of young girls. One of them had a beret on and she just looked so cool. Anyway, I know. And she was only about eight.
It sounds like you've got kind of a salon atmosphere happening in the store.
It really was. And Tim, it was brilliant. We did lots of video. So Lucy would be reading and then Tim would do interspersed music, like da-da-da-da. And it was just fantastic.
Nice event.
It was lovely. So we had that. And then in the afternoon, we had Laura Barnett. Now, she did the versions of Us, which became Judy and Richard's book of the month, and it became a bestseller. And her latest one is This Beating Heart. She lives just the other side of Faversham, so again, local. She came in the afternoon for adults, and that was wonderful. She did some really good, that was a really interesting book, actually, about trying for a family with IVF and the trials and tribulations of all of that. And there's another absolute tour de force called Julie Wasmer, and she's done all the Whitstable Pearl mysteries, some of which have been put onto TV, Acorn TV. She's coming in, and a big one in November is Catherine May, who lives in Whitstable, and she did Wintering, which was BBC Book of the Week, BBC Radio 4 Book of the Week last year. And it's about having fallow time in your life to regroup. It's almost like that hygge, is it? We call it hygge, where you regroup. You sort of almost hibernate and you need that time. And it was a worldwide bestseller. She's coming into our shop. We put the tickets up. We've sold out in a day.
Oh, I love hearing that. And I can imagine the enthusiasm and excitement Tim created playing the accidental music while your author was reading the book. The teacher in me sees this as exciting because it shows your audience, these young people, different aspects of creativity, how they can get involved with storytelling, how they can be creative. That to me is empowering because they see how creativity isn't linear. Creativity doesn't mean one thing or the other, or going to music school or getting a writing degree or a painting degree. It is possible to become a creative entrepreneur.
Exactly.
I thought that when I asked the kids at the end, you know, does anybody here want to be a writer or when they grow up?
Yes.
Because I think little moments like that can just spark something in young, because I came from education as well, and I've moved now, but when I used to go into town, like some of the girls I talked would have their babies in buggies, you know, they'd grown up, and they used to say to me, oh, Mr. Jenkins, I remember when you did that with me, and it always stuck with me. And I think it's things like that. I was feeling that at the event. I was thinking they're looking up at you and they're thinking, hang on a minute, this is something I might be able to do. I might be able to learn an instrument or read or be an author or own a bookshop, you know, and that's where the inspiration comes from.
It feels good, doesn't it?
It does feel good.
Totally, yeah. Totally. We're here for the community. We have to be commercially viable. That's, you know, let's not pretend. The crisis of cost of living's coming in now, and I often get asked that, don't you think you've opened at the wrong time? Well, actually, it's never the right time. And also, like you said about the pandemic, it's odd, we opened at end of May, beginning of June, and the amount of customer orders we have is unbelievable. They don't order with Amazon. They pay a couple of quid extra to order with us because they want to keep us going.
Do you remember that story?
Support local.
I got a great story, actually. When I first started working here, you know, in the bookshop, Jackie said to me, why don't you do a couple of days, which was really nice, because I was totally scared, because I'm not from a reading background at all, but I always, when people come in, I just get them talking about their books and they kind of find their own way in the end. I sort of say, well, what sort of thing do you like reading? Anyway, this guy came in and he parked his car just outside. And he came in with a copy of, I think it was Far From the Madding Crowd or something like that. I can't remember exactly what one it was. And he said to me, have you got this book? And I thought, right, I'll have a look. And I knew where Jackie had put the classics and everything. So So I said, oh, I'll have a look. So I said, yes. I said, I have got it. And he had a brand new copy. And he said to me, oh, I'll take that. And I said, he said, how much is it? I said, it's £20. It was a hardback, really nice book. He said, oh, I'll take that. So I said, I can't help but ask, you know, you've got a copy already. You know, where did you get that? He said, oh, I bought it off Amazon today. He said, I've just had it delivered. And I said, all right. He said, but I didn't know you existed. So I've come and bought it from here as well. I'm going to give the other one away. And I just thought it was so supportive.
Yeah.
He said, if I'd have known, I would never have done it on Amazon. And I'm going to tell all my friends now that you're here. And that's a great story. That's how much people care, you know.
Oh, that story warmed my heart. Thank you. Jackie, I was wondering if you had a mission statement for the bookshop before you opened. And also, how do you envision your place in the local community? You've kind of talked about this a little bit, but I wondered if you'd like to add anything.
We haven't actually pulled a mission statement together, but I would say that really the ethos is we are here for everybody and our door is wide open, not just to buy books. We're here as a safe space and a cultural hub where people can, they come in, they can bring their coffee, they can sit down for half an hour. So I would say for us, our door is wide open to everybody and we are a safe, welcoming space, really. I would say that. And there's books on the shelves. What's not to like about that, really? Sorry, that's not a succinct mission statement. I'm sorry.
Writing a mission statement for a business is kind of like writing a synopsis for a story. It's really tricky. It's harder than doing the actual business. And I also feel that mission statements kind of evolve. It's a bit like when you move into a new house. Some people want everything organized immediately. I'm kind of the opposite. I like to live in it for a while and get the feel of it, where I want to put everything. And I think mission statements tend to evolve and grow with each day of business.
This is what's happened to us. We have organically evolved. Tim and I didn't know each other when I sorted this space, you know, when I leased this space. I didn't know Tim. He didn't know me. And here we are together now, 3 months down the line, and we've just organically grown. And it's a joy.
Yeah, I think the good thing is that the shop is value. It's underpinned by values. Do you see what I mean? So, like, instead of being underpinned by kind of how much money we're going to make,
success,
you know,
yeah,
let's get chocolate in. We'd never do anything like that. It's more like, what are our values? What underpins it? Now, I don't have any financial input in it at all. You know, it's all Jackie that's taken all the risks. But I would never have got involved if I thought the values, because why would I want to work in a bookshop? Why would I want to do it? I want to do it because I want to be part of something that's got a good ethical framework. It's got a good value. It's helping people. Mm. That's the only reason I do it. I mean, I would probably do it for nothing, but Jackie insists on paying me a little bit of money, which is really nice. But I would still do it, even if Jackie said to me, look, we've got no money, we're running out, we're going to have to open up. We would still do it, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Until it became impossible.
Well, it's not going to become impossible.
No. So we do it. That's the values of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so say I have a couple of days in Herne Bay. What historic sites do you suggest I see? Where would I stay? Where would I get a delicious vegetarian meal and a great latte? I'm sure you have a ton of fish and chip shops in Herne Bay.
Yes, okay. Well, that's your pescatarian sorted. Okay, let's start with historical sites. There's an amazing historical site called Reculver Tower, which is along the coast. That's a big pilgrimage that people make. That's really, really stunning. There's Herne Bay itself. If you want to talk about the pier and the seaside itself, which has still got all of its Victorian infrastructure, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, so if I would say to people who haven't been here or they were coming from another country, is that the south of England during Victorian times, in London, actually, back in probably the turn of the century, there used to be a steamboat that came from the middle of London down to Herne Bay, down the Thames, a huge, you know, like a sort of Mississippi steamboat. And all the men used to come down in their suits and their bowler hats on this boat. And all the wives and the children would be down here for the whole summer. and it grew and it grew, and it was very gentrified there in those days. And they built in that time, a lot of everything became about kind of entertainment. So that's when the piers started to appear, and we've got like a Victorian pier that's all like planked, it goes out, and there's actually a very old pier that got lost in a storm in 1953. You can see that. That's nice. But also, it's a very, very old part of the coast. It's Jurassic. So if you bring kids down here, you only got to walk half a mile down the road and you can collect prehistoric shark teeth, you know, every day on the beach, because they're all washed up. Very, very old part of the coast. And I think that's why a lot of people find it very, very interesting. Mm. It's very old. And like Jackie says, you've got the fort, and you've got Romney Marshes up the road, which is where Dickens wrote Great Expectations and David Copperfield, all about that. And so you could say a bit more about Charles Dickens, because he lived here for a while. He lived in Broadstairs.
Yeah, he joined, just along the coast, there's the Dickens Museum, which is actually in Broadstairs. It's not actually in Herne Bay, but it is exactly where he lived and wrote, and where Aunt Betsy, it's the basis of where Aunt Betsy lived when he was playing with the dog, she was chasing the donkeys off of the green. So that is very Dickens around here. And of course, you've got Rochester up the road, which is where he actually did live. And they have a Dickens festival every year. We love a bit of Dickens. We're going Dickens-tastic at Christmas, by the way.
Well, that would make for a fun window display.
Oh, yeah, because Tim paints it. He says chalks. It's not. It's actually chalk paints. It's unreal. Yeah. It's brilliant. So, I would say the seaside itself, the seafront itself and the pier, Reculver Tower for Herne Bay, and then a bit further afield, you've got the Dickens Museum, which is really interesting. What about the other way? And, of course, with Whitstable, which is just literally down the road, you've got the Whitstable Oyster Fair, which is on every year, and that's really, really popular. So it's a lovely bit of the coast around here, really. And you can walk. You can walk from Herne Bay right the way round to Margate, right the other way round, past Whitstable, so it's a clear coastal path. So, a latte? Let's have a think. Now, we've got a lot of cafes here. There's, as Tim was mentioning, just up the road, there's a lovely woman called Maya, who helps a lot of Ukraine people. She's recently opened up a fantastic cafe. She does a brilliant latte. There's also the Raw Bar, which does really, really good coffee and vegetarian snacks, so people and vegan snacks, if people would like that. There's a lovely deli and cafe called The Green Door, which again, I'd say that was really nice for lunch. And then we've got a bit of a shishi bar, which has opened up, called the Pier Salon, or Salon, isn't it? The Pier Salon. And they're open all day for coffee, but they also do really, really nice Asian food, both vegetarian and catering for people that...
Actually, the people that own Pier Salon have brought another factor to Herne Bay, because they're behind the Pride, the Herne Bay Pride, which unfortunately we couldn't run this year because the Queen passed away on the same weekend, so it's being moved. But there's a big kind of LGBTQ community in Herne Bay growing. Yeah. And we're part of that. We have, you know, we have a lot of books in that genre, don't we?
Yeah.
But also, that's nice, because they have, like, you know, drag bingo and things like that.
Oh, yeah, it's hilarious.
And it's just a bit of a sort of, like, waker-upper for some of the kind of older people in Herne Bay, you know.
It's just starting to happen, and they do open mic evenings, which is great.
It's starting to sound like Herne Bay is the best little-kept secret in that area.
Exactly.
That's our
strap line. It's the best kept secret, and it's just coming to life now, you know?
Yeah. And Jackie, what have you learned about business and yourself since opening the Little Green Bookshop?
Okay.
That's a good question.
That's a very good question. Before I opened, I was really, really anxious, and I thought I'd made a mistake, because this was a physiotherapist's before it was a bookshop. There was no infrastructure for me in terms of shelving, in terms of even internet, anything. And it was a lot of outlay and a lot of technical stuff which was becoming overwhelming. I'd never used a stock control system before. And I used to literally wake up at night and think, oh my God, the stock control system. And then, this is going to sound a bit weird, but then opened the door, the day I opened, it was almost like having a baby. It was like everything disappeared and I've got this lovely baby in my arms, all the pain. And from that day, for me, it's about the people. It's about the people that walk through the door, the connection to people, the love of books. I would never have been interested in opening a gift shop or a little trinket shop because that's not where my acumen is, I suppose, or my interest lies. To be able to talk to people about books is a privilege of a job in my mind. And business-wise, the good news is, unlike Timothy, who is the creative element of the team, I love a bit of admin. I love a bit of admin. Yeah, love it. Love it, love it. So I'm on top of the admin. And I do find sometimes I'm now connecting with individual publishers. I started off with our UK wholesaler, Gardeners, who were fantastic helping me set up. But obviously you can deal with different publishers and you have different terms which can be preferential. So that's another layer again that I'm starting to learn how to deal with that. So it's all of the publishing and the book trade that I knew nothing about. I'm learning all the time. So it isn't just, oh, come and have a look at these books. What are you interested in today? There's a lot behind it, behind the scenes, you know.
But it's exciting to learn new things.
It is exciting to learn, you know, at my stage of the game, to have my brain so engaged again, because I was, you know, I was wandering around a bit lost for a while, to be honest. And this has just completely revolutionized my life. No two ways. So, yes, so we're a good team in terms of creativity and more admin-y. So that's good.
That's great. And what about books? Tell me what you're both reading.
I'm currently reading The Whalebone Theatre by Joanna Quinn. It's quite a doorstopper. It's set in the 1800s, but it's brilliant. So I'm really enjoying that. And I just recently read Stoner. Oh, we also run 3 book clubs out of here because, again, people were like, hello, can we have a book club, please? So I'm in all 3 of them. Tim's in none. I don't know how that worked out. Anyway. He doesn't even strum a guitar in any of them. But so we recently did Stoner, Hamnet, What's Not to Like About Hamnet, which is Maggie O'Farrell.
Oh, I love that book. It's a book to read again.
I know. So I've read those recently. We're just on Persuasion. One of our teams come up with Persuasion. So we're going back to a Jane Austen classic there. So that's that. And just on the book club, we have a teenage book club, which we are thrilled about. Mm. So we're running a little teenage book club of about 6 or 7. They own it themselves. I mean, obviously, we're here to make sure that they're safe. They choose their own book. They have their own space because there's no youth clubs anymore. And I love it. Absolutely love that.
And what about you, Tim? What are you currently reading?
I'm reading The Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle.
Oh, that's a good one. I haven't read that one in years.
Yeah, I'm reading that because I'm interested in all that kind of consciousness stuff. And I've read all of his other books and I always read it every year. So I'm sort of rereading it again. Mm. I'm interested in all that because I used to be, my job before was I was a coach and I'm interested in all the psychology of what makes people do things. That's why I've been so fascinated from a coaching point of view, watching how Jackie has kind of driven this forward, you know, the dream and to get, you know, getting on with it, setting goals, completing the goals, moving to the next goal, you know, having that drive, that energy, which is another reason I think people come into the shop because I'm a firm believer when I was coaching was that the coach's job or the teacher's job in a school is to bring the energy. Now, don't expect the kids to bring the energy. Don't expect the customers to bring the energy. You've got to bring the energy to them. So when they walk through the door and they've had a terrible day or they're feeling fed up, if you can bring some energy into their lives, you will be successful. Mm. If you sit there when they walk through and ignore them and no, create some kind of atmosphere, like Jackie says, to make them feel safe, to make them think, oh, this is a space I feel good in. You know, that and that's what I think you've done.
I don't know about that, but what we have created, it's like my
modest.
It's like my front room. So there's seating areas, there's a nice big old rug, and it's just very cozy. Everyone calls it cozy, don't they?
Yeah, welcoming. You know, not intimidating.
I think that's your mission statement. And I can't wait to come and visit the Little Green Bookshop in Herne Bay and have a cup of coffee with you both.
It's really, really nice to meet you, you know. You're lovely.
Oh, thank you. And you know what? I think the same about you both, too. And I thoroughly enjoyed chatting with you both. You've made me laugh. We've talked about Hamnet, which nearly makes me cry at the thought of it. I love what you're doing with bringing all the creativity and the creatives into the shop like a magnet. I think what you've created is something truly special.
Thanks, Mandy. Thank you.
Yeah, really enjoyed it. It was lovely speaking to you.
And we hope to meet you in the flesh one day.
You've been listening to my conversation with Jackie Delbert and Tim Jenkins from the Little Green Bookshop in Herne Bay, England. Make sure to follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Mandy Jackson Beverly. And check out my website at mandyjacksonbeverly.com. And if you'd like to contribute to the coffee fund, go to thebookshoppodcast.brassprout.com, click on the little orange heart in the right-hand corner of the page, and you can donate through Buy Me a Coffee. For information regarding sponsoring an episode, email thebookshoppodcast@gmail.com. The Bookshop Podcast is written and produced by Mandy Jackson Beverly. Theme music provided by Brian Beverly. Executive assistant to Mandy, Adrian Otterhan, and graphic design by Francis Farala. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.